Part 3. You will hear two psychologists talking about modern childhood. For questions 15 to 20, choose the answer A, B, C, or D, which fits best according to what you hear.
I hope this isn't going to deteriorate into a what is childhood discussion. The one about solemn little miniature adults in old portraits and infants who toiled from dawn to dusk in the fields and poor unfortunates whipped within an inch of their lives by sadistic schoolteachers. Or alternatively, a debate about the adventures of Huck Finn and the Famous Five and apparent carefree innocence. There have been many versions of childhood in fact and fiction, and I dare say there'll be many more.
Well, according to a recent newspaper report, childhood is dying. So those cheeky little scamps I saw challenging each other to throw their school bags on top of a bus stop must have been a figment of my imagination. Or perhaps they were making a political stand against the rigidities of the formal curriculum. Who knows? Apparently a group of adults do. Academics and professionals have put their signatures to a letter, subsequently championed by the Daily Telegraph newspaper and the Tory party, articulating the fall of childhood innocence. My heart is with the sentiments of this campaign, but I worry that it loses sight of practical wisdom.
At birth, all children are distractible, impulsive, egocentric creatures. But by the time they reach teenage years, we expect them, as a result of their experiences, environment and education, to have acquired a degree of self-control, an ability to see other people's point of view, and the basic skills needed to enjoy their life ahead. It's the development from babyhood to adolescence that I investigated for my book, Toxic Childhood. And my conclusion was that many children in Britain today are indeed being robbed of the chance to a healthy childhood. Many reach adolescence with poor attention spans and self-control and a distinct lack of empathy for the people around them. Their main and major basic skill is ticking boxes on tests, and this is scandalous.
As one of the richest, most highly developed nations in the world, we really should be able to provide the sort of childhood that allows the next generation to grow up happy, healthy, and civilized. Instead, many of our children have developed a taste for unhealthy food, a couch potato lifestyle, and have related problems with sleeping. An unacceptable number suffer from inadequate early emotional bonding, lack of interaction with their parents, and a high level of emotional instability. Rather than stimulating real-life experiences, children have TV and computer games at home and a narrow test and target-driven curriculum at school. Moral guidance has suffered as societies have become increasingly confused, while children are constantly exposed to manipulative advertising and the excesses of celebrity culture. In a recent survey of children's well-being among the countries of the European Union, the UK came 21st out of 25. We should be ashamed of ourselves.
Yes, I believe we're robbing our children of something we could provide. The conditions in which we grow up bright, balanced and well-behaved. Somehow, in the turmoil of rapid social, cultural and technological change over the last 20 years or so, our society's lost sight of essential truths about child development and education. As a nation, we need to provide parents with information on children's developmental needs, including real food, real play, first-hand experience, and real-life interaction with the significant adults in their lives. Since parents are terrified by media hysteria about stranger danger and the fevered imaginings of the health and safety lobby, they also need information about the real dangers from which children should be protected. For instance, TVs and other technological paraphernalia in their bedrooms. As a profession, teachers should refuse to participate in the drive to accelerate childhood with the ever earlier start to formal education and a competitive winners and losers approach to primary education. We should boycott the tests, targets and league tables and do what we as professionals know is best for children. It's time we stopped robbing the next generation of their right to grow up healthy, happy and whole.
Now you'll hear part three again.
I hope this isn't going to deteriorate into a what is childhood discussion. The one about solemn little miniature adults in old portraits and infants who toiled from dawn to dusk in the fields and poor unfortunates whipped within an inch of their lives by sadistic schoolteachers. Or alternatively, a debate about the adventures of Huck Finn and the Famous Five and apparent carefree innocence. There have been many versions of childhood in fact and fiction, and I dare say there'll be many more.
Well, according to a recent newspaper report, childhood is dying. So those cheeky little scamps I saw challenging each other to throw their school bags on top of a bus stop must have been a figment of my imagination. Or perhaps they were making a political stand against the rigidities of the formal curriculum. Who knows? Apparently a group of adults do. Academics and professionals have put their signatures to a letter, subsequently championed by the Daily Telegraph newspaper and the Tory party, articulating the fall of childhood innocence. My heart is with the sentiments of this campaign, but I worry that it loses sight of practical wisdom.
At birth, all children are distractible, impulsive, egocentric creatures. But by the time they reach teenage years, we expect them, as a result of their experiences, environment and education, to have acquired a degree of self-control, an ability to see other people's point of view, and the basic skills needed to enjoy their life ahead. It's the development from babyhood to adolescence that I investigated for my book, Toxic Childhood. And my conclusion was that many children in Britain today are indeed being robbed of the chance to a healthy childhood. Many reach adolescence with poor attention spans and self-control and a distinct lack of empathy for the people around them. Their main and major basic skill is ticking boxes on tests, and this is scandalous.
As one of the richest, most highly developed nations in the world, we really should be able to provide the sort of childhood that allows the next generation to grow up happy, healthy, and civilized. Instead, many of our children have developed a taste for unhealthy food, a couch potato lifestyle, and have related problems with sleeping. An unacceptable number suffer from inadequate early emotional bonding, lack of interaction with their parents, and a high level of emotional instability. Rather than stimulating real-life experiences, children have TV and computer games at home and a narrow test and target-driven curriculum at school. Moral guidance has suffered as societies have become increasingly confused, while children are constantly exposed to manipulative advertising and the excesses of celebrity culture. In a recent survey of children's well-being among the countries of the European Union, the UK came 21st out of 25. We should be ashamed of ourselves.
Yes, I believe we're robbing our children of something we could provide. The conditions in which we grow up bright, balanced and well-behaved. Somehow, in the turmoil of rapid social, cultural and technological change over the last 20 years or so, our society's lost sight of essential truths about child development and education. As a nation, we need to provide parents with information on children's developmental needs, including real food, real play, first-hand experience, and real-life interaction with the significant adults in their lives. Since parents are terrified by media hysteria about stranger danger and the fevered imaginings of the health and safety lobby, they also need information about the real dangers from which children should be protected. For instance, TVs and other technological paraphernalia in their bedrooms. As a profession, teachers should refuse to participate in the drive to accelerate childhood with the ever earlier start to formal education and a competitive winners and losers approach to primary education. We should boycott the tests, targets and league tables and do what we as professionals know is best for children. It's time we stopped robbing the next generation of their right to grow up healthy, happy and whole.
That's the end of part 3.